Be seated. Bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Stanton Orthodox Presbyterian Church. We pray for you. You have been talked up by the Madroskis and Paul and Barbara Brown, so you need to live up to your reputation. Please, by the way, pray for Paul and Barbara. Paul is failing, and Barbara has a considerable weight of care for him. You know, sometimes preachers have to preach to themselves. I admit that. I once heard the story of a man who was converted by his own preaching in the pulpit. That was not the case for me, but you know, I read things in the scripture sometimes. Preached a series on Isaiah 55 once. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you with songs of joy. And I have to confess that sometimes I'm not very optimistic about that sort of thing. When I confess that to my congregation years ago, I got some rather straightforward response, as you can probably imagine. But because I'm not by nature a very hopeful person, I'm not a power of positive thinking type of guy, I need to have the Spirit work on me pretty continually. And so I've been thinking a little bit in the last few weeks about this whole idea of hope. It is one of the themes of the Christmas season. Our pastor preached on it and heard some other commentary about it. So I decided, well, for Knox, I'll revisit the whole idea of hope in the Christian life. Now, I gave as a text in the bulletin some verses from the first chapter of, or from the third chapter of Colossians, and I want to, from the first chapter of Colossians, and I want to read those. But also I want to put together for you, before you, some other passages of Scripture which have to do with that, and then we'll consider this teaching. Paul says to the Colossian Christians, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." In Romans chapter 5, Paul begins that wonderful chapter. Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope that is not, that does not, hope that does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. In Romans 15, he says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope." In Hebrews chapter 6, "So when God desired to show more convincingly to the heirs of the promise the unchangeable character of his purpose, he guaranteed it with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a more sure and steadfast anchor of our soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. First John, John writes, "Beloved, we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure." 1 Peter says, "Therefore," chapter 3, "therefore prepare your minds for action, and being sober-minded, let your hope, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." To the Thessalonians, Paul writes, "Grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus." 2 Corinthians, just two more. If what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. And then in Proverbs, the hope of the righteous brings joy. Lots of words to make us hopeful. Let's pray that God will use his word to that end. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you love us so much that you have sent your Son to be our Savior and our King. And he is the Prince of Hope for your people. And we pray that as we focus on this wonderful aspect of our Christian lives this morning, that you would bless us with your Spirit to help us understand, to apply, and to go home rejoicing that we have been in your presence and that we've had the privilege of hearing your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So today is the first day of another year, and it's time for evaluation. I'm sure that probably some of you have done a little bit of that. Maybe you've done some year-end cleaning up things, or maybe you're looking forward to the new year, or maybe you're not ready for that, in which case you might want to identify as Chinese, and in that case you can postpone this whole process another 21 days until the year 4720 in the Chinese calendar. And if you don't want to go there, you can really procrastinate and go to September 22nd or September 15th, and there'll be a Rosh Hashanah, a new year. That year will be 5784 in the Jewish calendar. Or you might want to do it today. I enjoy reading the comments of Samuel Johnson. He's credited as being the first person to compile an exhaustive dictionary of the English language. You can imagine that Dr. Johnson was a bit of an eccentric, but he would make an evaluation of his life at the end of each year. I identify with this guy, really. He says, "I have outlived many friends. I have felt many sorrows. I have made very few improvements. Since my resolutions formed last year, I have made no advancement in knowledge or goodness, nor do I recollect that I have endeavored it. I am dejected, but not hopeless." Another year, he said, "When I consider how vainly I have hitherto resolved each year to regulate my life by God's laws, I'm almost afraid to renew my resolution. Since last year, I have reformed no evil habits. My time has been unprofitably spent. I propose to rise at 8 because though..." Now, I missed a page here. "I propose to rise at 8, though I shall not rise early. It will be much earlier than I rise now, for I often lie in bed till 2. Is the picture brighter this year? He says, scarcely. Of resolutions I have made many with so little effect that I am almost weary for the help of God. I am not yet hopeless. And then he says, I have corrected no external habits, nor have kept any of the resolutions made at the beginning of the year. Yet I hope still to be reformed and not to lose my whole life in idle purposes. Many years have already gone, irrevocably passed, in useless misery. Oh, what remains may be, oh, that what remains might be spent better. Grant, O Lord. In a way, that's kind of sad, isn't it? Great man like that, and yet sort of a reflection of the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. I don't understand my own actions. What I want to do, I don't do. What I don't want to do, I find myself doing all the time. And yet at the same time, in Samuel Johnson as well as in the Apostle Paul, we find this wonderful reflection of I'm dejected, but I'm not hopeless. By the help of God, I am not yet hopeless. I hope still to be reformed. Seems like the key is hope, isn't it? The key to life is hope. It's difficult to measure the value of any single fruit of God's Spirit working in our hearts, but let me focus some on hope this morning, and I hope that it can be encouraging to you. First, I want to just do a general overview, again, going back to some of those verses, but sort of capsulizing what they say, and then some observations about hope that I hope will be helpful. Hebrews 6 says that hope is our security in turbulent times. Colossians, Paul says, faith and love spring from hope. In Proverbs 10, he says, hope brings about joy in the believer. In 1 Corinthians 4, hope is our protection against despair. 2 Corinthians 3, hope leads to boldness in Christian living and work. 1 John 3, hope logically leads to purity of life. Romans 8, hope is gained by looking at the broader picture of things. The creation groans, but it hopes for the reconciliation of all things. 1 Thessalonians 1, hope leads to endurance. And then in chapter 5 of Romans, hope that is linked vertically, that is that our hope is always focused upward to God, is linked to our justification by grace through faith in Christ, but it's also linked to our sufferings. Somehow hope is linked to our sufferings, and there's a connection there. Let me say three things about hope. Number one, the title of the sermon, hope is the mainspring. Hope is the mainspring of the believer's life and vitality in our union with Christ. Now, some of you, like me, may be old enough to know what a mainspring is. That's the mechanism of a clock. Some of you are not quite so. This is, hope is the ever-ready battery. It's the thing that, what, keeps you, it's okay to talk in church. It keeps you going and going and going, right? That's exactly what hope is in the Christian life. The thing is that hope is when hope is not present, motivation goes, energy goes, in every aspect of life, economically, morally, spiritually, in the family, so forth. And looking at the biblical idea of hope, you have to go all the way back to the beginning of the scripture. In the Genesis account, when Adam and Eve sinned, they fell away from God. And that sin had a cosmic effect and damage to all that could be considered hope. When Adam and Eve ate that fruit, the forbidden fruit, God fulfilled his promise, didn't he? And he sent them away from that garden. But even before he sent them away, God gave Adam and Eve hope. And he said, you know, Adam and Eve, here's the promise. Someone is going to come. And that one who is going to come is going to reverse everything that you just did by that one single act of rebellion against him. And in the fourth chapter of Genesis, you remember, Eve has a baby. And the thing that she says to Adam is, "Oh, Adam, the Lord has given me a man." And implied there is, do you think this is the one who's going to do what God promised? Look, Adam, do you think this is the one? And of course, as I'm sure you have heard in the past few weeks, in the advent, in the birth of the Lord's Messiah, the whole Old Testament repeats over and over and over the expectation that one is coming and our hope is in that one. And every faithful Jewish mother from the time of Eve until the time of Mary, she bore a son. And they wondered, is this the one? Is my son going to be the one? And surely it was fulfilled in Mary, the child of the promise. In the several verses that I've just read to you, we're urged to see and believe that there is a specific connection in the lives of God's people between all of the various aspects of the redemptive work of God and the hope that we have in Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, constantly remembering you in our prayers, remembering before God and our Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that word steadfastness, that's the endurance, that's the going and going and going of the Christian life, the hope that is there. Well, how does that work? How is it manifested in our lives? Well, that's the second thing that you notice, and that is that hope revives, it sustains, and it comforts us in times of sorrow, in times of hurt, in times of need. No one can deny, or should deny, that many people, many of us perhaps in this room this morning, are dealing with great pain, great suffering, from all kinds of different physical, emotional, spiritual, relational needs that we have in our lives. Some of you are right there, right now, and you can identify with what I've just saying. Facing that real adversity with vitality and joy in life is absolutely dependent upon hope. The Apostle Peter writes, again I repeat, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as was necessary, you have been grieved by various trials." What is it that holds us together in times of trials, suffering, of loss? It is the hope that God gives us. One of the great themes of the New Testament letters, especially that of Peter, is he writes to these people, these young Christians, believers, scattered around the world, the known world then, who were suffering, who were doing battle with real physical persecutions, financial poverty. They were without funds. They had unbelieving spouses in their homes. They had been rejected by their families. These were real issues that people were dealing with. Unjust, abusive relationships and situations where they worked. Peter's message to those people was, hope. You've been born again to a living hope. That's what sustains you. Hope that is imperishable and undefiled and an unfading inheritance. One preacher said, hope is the handkerchief that God puts into the hands of his people to wipe the tears which their present sorrows draw from their eyes. As Christians, we never deny the hurt. We never deny the hardship, the pain, the difficulty, the tears. But where we find hope, those tears can be dried. And that sustains. And at the stages and places in life when you engage in such struggles as these, the hope of the Bible is directly connected. And this is really important. It's directly connected, as Peter says, to the fact that you have been born again. And of course, the new birth links directly to a saving faith and a trust in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is their hope? It is found in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and his work of redemption. For the Christian, the greatest sorrows, the greatest groans and pains in life are associated with the fact, with the knowledge of my own sin against a sovereign God who is holy and just, but more importantly, a loving Father who forgives and who redeems and who saves. The only joys of our salvation come through faith in Christ. The benefits of that redemption and of that salvation. Forgiveness, yes. Rightness with God, yes. But also a hope of salvation in the end. And that saving hope comes alongside us, comes alongside to sustain us and comforts us. And then a third thing about hope. Hope is the thing that keeps us going in the times of struggle with our own temptations, with our own sins. 1 Corinthians 13, you know that verse. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. I think we all find it to be true that in times of spiritual struggle, in times of whatever it is that's going on in our lives, when resources, mental, emotional, all kinds of resources seem short, seem out of touch, we're tempted. We're tempted to strike out at other people. Those irresponsible other people, you know them? Yeah. We're tempted to manipulate people in circumstances. We try to manufacture solutions to our problems. But Paul makes it clear that even in the face of those fierce temptations, it's hope that springs forth with the expectation and assurance that God brings deliverance. He writes, "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation." It's the command of the Lord Jesus that in the face of temptation, the believer is to take initiative, to wield that powerful sword of the Spirit, and to contend with our own hearts and our own lives in the hope of our salvation. At the beginning of this year, you as a Christian believer, you might be asking that in 2023, I want to be productive. Well, to be productive, you need hope. You have pain, you're struggling. It's by hope that you're comforted. You're struggling against temptation. Hope sustains you and your heart. It's your hope that enables you to live the Christian life. These statements that I've given give you a description of what hope is supposed to do, but have you noticed I've left something out? What is it? What is it that you hope for? What are you hoping for? Maybe you're a resolution setter. This time, I'm going to do it. I'm going to read through my Bible this year. Whatever it is. Yeah, okay. Maybe you're more limited than that. I hope I have a better attitude toward my life and my work. I hope that I have a confidence to structure my life with some better degree of self-discipline. I have a hope for the salvation of my lost relative friend that I really have a concern for. I have an exalted hope for world peace. Well, maybe not world peace, but at least that people would stop being so cruel to one another. Or that we'd have a better government. I hope we have a better government. I hope that we have a better economy. Anybody disagree with that? No. No, those things are all worthy goals and things to set our minds to. But you know what? In the end, putting a hope on such things as that will all fail to motivate you, sustain you, and comfort you. Why is it? Because they're all on the level of this created world. Nothing in this created world, even if it gets better than you can possibly imagine, will give you the hope that you need to sustain you. The kind of biblical hope that's described in the passages that we've looked at from Paul and Peter and so forth go way beyond just the wishful thinking of, boy, I hope things will get better. It's not something subjective. It's not something that you try to get yourself geared up and cranked up in. Your hope is based on something that is objective. It's based on something that has been done by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and his resurrection, his ascension into, where is the hope? Into heaven. Your hope is heaven. The testimonies of the apostles are consistent. John says that because Jesus rose from the dead, we too shall live forever. Paul's testimony before his accusers was his hope in the resurrection of the dead. The mystery that he preached, a mystery now revealed in the gospel, is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peter boldly declares that the whole reason for the new birth is a living hope based in the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's not an escape from reality. That's not an opiate for you. It's not some sort of a drug, a mental drug. No. My brothers and sisters, the hope of heaven is your possession as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Christians, we find what the world and what worldliness proves every single day, and that is to hope in anything less as an object of our longing and of our affections will only prove to be empty. How sad it is. How sad it is when you look around you, even at the beginning of a new year, health clubs are going to sell an abundance of new memberships this week. I just joined the Y last week, not because of this, but yeah, health clubs. And people are going to go and they're going to try to revitalize their bodies and their minds. Divorce courts are going to be full in the next few months. You know what I need? I need some relief from him or from her with the hope that that'll make things better. Countless numbers of unwed mothers who succumb to the pleasure of that moment are going to try to take care of it by killing their unborn babies. People will travel. They'll go to bars. They'll stay in libraries. They'll go to political conventions. All kinds of stuff with hope, but it's all futile. In the end, it's all empty. The Christian believer's hope goes far beyond any of that. Not to some fantasy, but to the fact, to the objective fact that heaven is the place where all those good desires and all those remedies of the ills of this world and even of my life, all those good desires will be fully and perfectly satisfied. And you know what? Above all of that, the hope of the believer is that God will be vindicated. His word will be established as true. Jesus will be worshiped as the king that he is right now. That, my friends, is a sustaining hope. The goal, the reward toward which we press is that of total victory and the complete pleasure in the presence of the Lord and of our Father himself. Every victory in the here and now that we see, that we hope to see, even those are just a picture, just a flash picture of what will be for eternity in the presence of our God. I put it this way, the other side of it is true as well. And I don't want to dwell on this, but sort of identifies you with Dr. Johnson. Your labor, brothers and sisters, the Lord says, is not in vain. Your labor now is not in vain. A crowning day is coming when the living judge will say to his people, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Is that what you hope for in 2023? I hope it is. One last thing, just by way of encouragement. How do you establish that kind of hope? How does it build in you? What builds it? Well, I think thinking about it, talking about it with other believers. What is fellowship in the church? Fellowship in the church is when God's people get together and they talk about things that are important, right? And heaven is the most important thing that we can talk about. Oh, how I long to be with the Lord in glory. Be realistic, yes. We talk, we're weak in our sin, we have our sufferings, but at the same time, remember, from God's perspective of time, He is in perfect control. For in God's,
the way we view God's power,
God is able to take all things and work them for His glory. His perspective is not always the same as ours. Sometimes those things are tangible. Sometimes they're intangible. Sometimes they're temporal.
But they're also eternal. Real hope,
finally, cannot be purchased, cannot be procured. But it comes by faith, it comes by prayer, it comes by fellowship and worship of a God who is the God of hope. I hope that these thoughts on biblical hope will prompt you to have good and godly hope at the beginning of this year. We can go back to where we began the service this morning, Psalm 90. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and may He establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, Lord, establish the work of our hands. In that there is hope. Let's pray to Him. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for the hope that we receive because of the work of Jesus. We thank You for the Scripture. We thank You for the fellowship of the saints. We thank You for worship. We're thankful for a new year that allows us to, yes, look back, maybe with some frustration, but to look forward to a year in which we will see You work in our lives, in our church, in our families, and that we can praise You and thank You for all that You do. Hear our prayer today. Grant to us Your grace in Jesus. We pray in His name. Amen.